You are listening to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I'm your host, Eleanor Dooley, and if you're seeking a deeper understanding of your body's inner workings, the reasons behind its actions and reactions, and you suspect that your hormones might be at play, you are in the right place, my friend. As a functional medicine nutritionist specializing in holistic hormone health for women, I bring together the latest research, my clinical expertise, and my own personal experiences to create a safe space for you to learn and explore. Just remember, this podcast provides information and inspiration for you, not medical diagnoses or treatments. Always consult your own doctor before making any changes. Now, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started. Hi, everybody. I have a special treat for you today. I am sharing an interview that I did on a podcast with a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Tracy Stroop, who's a naturopathic doctor, and she works with all kinds of people, men, women, children, in aiding in understanding the body processes and the natural ways that we can heal from disease and disorder in the body. So I had the pleasure of being introduced on her podcast, and I wanted to share the conversation that her and I had because there was a lot of valuable information that we exchange with each other dealing with how women understand their bodies all the way from menstruation through menopause. And I shared with her parts of the way that I work with women in my practice and the steps of the programs that I create for people. So the unique ways that I create healing for women. And it was just such a good conversation that I decided to drop this bonus episode for you guys this month. So I hope you enjoy. Please follow her on Instagram and Facebook. She has her own podcast. So if you love the flow of the conversation, you can also seek her out. And without further ado, I'm going to share this with you.
Well, welcome everybody to the Eat, Pray, Faith podcast with Dr. Tracy. That's me. And I'm so excited to have my great friend and brilliant woman, Eleanor Dooley, who is a holistic hormone specialist, among other things. But I had the pleasure of meeting this wonderful woman through the Get Healthy store platform, which I also work for, and just was fascinated with her platform, her knowledge, and just her in-depth caring of women and how we're going to have this great conversation about her Zen Hormone Mastery program. But really, we're just going to open this up with a conversation about women, about the pursuit of balancing hormones, which I think I'm at that age, Eleanor, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. But can you just give our audience who's listening a little bit of background about yourself?
Yes. Hi. Well, thank you for having me. My name's Eleanor Dooley, and like Dr. Tracy said, I'm a holistic hormone and gut specialist. I help women through reading functional blood work, Dutch testing, which is hormone testing and gut testing, to find out what's going on in their body so that we can uncover natural solutions. A lot of women come to me in various stages of hormone dysregulation and just really not feeling well, not feeling who they once were. And it happened to me when I have three children. I decided to get off birth control and kind of investigate what are the other options. And I started having really debilitating symptoms like migraines, and I couldn't get out of bed. And then after 3 days, it would go away. And, you know, it was almost too difficult to catch, try to get to the doctor when it was happening. And I finally did. And I said, you know, well, what's the plan here? And I kind of just got met with a shrug of, well, there's no plan, there's just painkillers. And, you know, I kind of chuckled to myself like, no, but like, how are we going to figure out what's the problem so that I don't have to live with pain? And it kind of dawned on me when the doctor was serious. There was no
solutions for me. And so I really took it upon myself to get my own testing. And I called and I said, can you explain to me how it works and what it is and what it means? Because I'm going to learn all of this stuff about myself. And when I did that, I just became so excited to help other women and let them know there are other alternatives to just going to the gynecologist or just going to your primary care, because I feel like we're kind of taught that growing up, that that's the way to do it. And there are other options out there. And I opened a practice specifically to help women and give them these alternatives.
Well, that's amazing, because me stories are so powerful. I mean, I don't know one health professional that didn't get into our profession because they had a story of some sort about their own health, right? And this kind of like aha moment. And that's what I'm hoping that people gain from this today, especially with hormones in women. I think this is a really mistreated part of the conventional approach to women. And it's an accepted mistreatment by us, you know, and I'm guilty as charged. So, you know, when I was younger, and I'm sure you're going to have something to say about this, but I had irregular periods as a young girl. You know, probably I started around 12, 13, and they were never regular. And so my mom took me to the, you know, gynecologist, and they put me on birth control. And magically, I was fixed. Mm-hmm. But was I fixed, Eleanor? I mean, why is the conventional approach, without even looking at any blood work on me? I don't remember getting any blood work at the time. Now, I'm older, so maybe things have changed now, but I don't really hear a lot of blood draws being done on teenagers. So let's start at the teenage years. Let's start at the conventional approach to women as a teenager. Why is birth control like the number one thing that's always given?
Yeah, well, to answer that question, we really have to look at the culture. And I know when I was a teen and got my period, there was no education. There was not even my mother, who everybody has their own relationships with their mothers, but there was no explanation of this is a cycle. This is a 4-week, give or take, cycle that different things happen in your body. And it's a unique and amazing experience and opportunity that a woman gets to have. We're told that it sucks and you should be ashamed of it. And you better hope that it doesn't leak because it's very embarrassing. And if you're in a bad mood, then that's because you're on your period. And so that's the same stigma that ironically menopause is given, right? And so from the get-go, we're not educated on the natural, beautiful processes of the female body. We're taught shame and we're taught cover it up as best you can and pretend it's not there until you actually need it. Then we can, you know, we can get you more medicines and support. So I just wanted to start with that, because when a young girl has bad periods, it's not because her body is bad, right? It's because something is throwing off her balance. And it most likely in this day and age, it has to do with toxicity in the body. A lot of children have residual toxic poisoning from, let's say, vaccinations, let's say, you know, viruses as a child, bacteria exposures, food poisonings, things that we go through in our everyday lives in this world accumulate in the female body, and it throws off the systems. Young girls are now on diets. Young girls are taught to not eat carbohydrates and to not eat food, you know? And so if we're not looking at the fundamentals of what balance is required in the body, then we're not even getting to the period part yet. We're not even getting to estrogen and all of those things. We're actually just looking, are they sleeping? Are they eating, you know, balanced food? Are they pooping every day? Are they drinking water? Because most people that come in here need that fundamental reality check of a healthy functioning body before we get to birth control. And then when we go to the doctor, if there's no, you know, they'll do an exam, and if they don't find anything obvious, then their only tool in their toolbox is birth control. And the reason that's the only tool is because they can prescribe it to at any time without any blood work, so it's relatively cheap. It's a consistent, you know, pharmaceutical. You have to buy it every single month, and it actually puts your cycle into dormancy. So basically, you're chemically altering your brain's understanding of the cycle and saying, we're just gonna put this chemical here, and the brain will think that you do not need to ovulate. Chemically, you know, I don't know all the chemicals, but that's what happens. And so the symptoms magically disappear because the cycle disappears. But what doesn't disappear is the reason the imbalance started in the first place.
And sometimes the imbalance can be so simple, especially in teenage years, because your body's so young and able to recover. But you just kind of blew my mind with your statement. I want to be honest here. I have this righteous anger now fueling up in me about our conventional approach to women. And it's like complete, like, how can I even say it? Mistreatment of, yeah. I never even thought about it, because you know what? It's always been demonized to me too. And I've always thought about my menstrual cycle as like this awful thing that I have to get every month, that I have to tolerate. And now I'm really angry about the fact that I think that way. So you just broke that completely off of me. And I probably have, you probably freed all the people listening today.
Oh, so I hope so.
If you have a daughter or, you know, someone that you know on birth control, and that has been the only thing that's been done for them, and you want a new approach, hang in there, because you're going to learn so much today from Eleanor. I'm completely changed, and it's been 3 minutes. So, well, you know, I think you had a really good statement about the whole foundations, and I want to hear about this because nutrition does matter, but we are going to, AKA experts in the field, you know, be it gynecologists, and I'm not saying all of them don't have nutritional training. I'm not saying all of them don't have blood work analysis training, but let's just use a stereotypical, most of them who graduated from a medical college with the curriculum that's taught there and without any other education backing that up, they will come out with the pharmaceutical approach. And I always say the medical system trains practitioners that people have too many organs and not enough pharmaceuticals, right? So it's like, that's our problem. We have a birth control deficiency. No, we don't have that. So I really loved your statement about how they don't talk about diet. They don't look at blood work. They're not even analyzing these people, and they're prescribing things. So, you know, conventional just with teenagers is horrible. And I don't want to jump to older women. I want to let you comment on that. But then I want to take it down the decades, because I really think this is decade by decade, we get beat up as women and hormones and things to expect. So I'm going to let you comment on the foundational part first.
Yeah. So, well, talking about foundations, nutrition, I mean, everybody kind of shrugs and rolls their eyes and says, yeah, I know about nutrition. I know salads are better for me than candy and junk food, right? We actually fundamentally know that now, right? But the society that we live in, we're very busy, all of us, you know, every single person. I haven't met a person yet who's in, they're in a busy season of life, right? We don't slow down. We don't, really look at why our cortisol, which is another hormone related to these sex hormones, because cortisol helps us cope and it helps us get through. But it's not an infinite supply, and it's actually pretty expensive. So when we spend our resources, our nutrients, and our debit card of all of the processes in the body that we're able to do on cortisol, there isn't much left over for sex hormones. And this is where, you know, quote unquote, things go awry for people, because they start feeling symptoms. And when we talk about nutrition, nutrition is what is providing those minerals and nutrients to the ingredients for these hormones. And if we don't have a grasp of what that looks like translated into, you know, if you eat three meals a day, if you eat a certain amount of calories a day, if it's not translated, then we all think that we're doing that part fine. And, you know, I'm not here to point out and say you're doing it wrong. I'm here to say we all need more nutrition, more nutrients, more things. This is what I say to my clients. If it comes out of the earth, it has nutritional value for your body. And if we've turned the American culture diet into do's and don'ts and goods and bads, and you are bad if you eat bad, and you are good if you eat perfect. And if you're not perfect, then you're not good. And so this has created, you know, not only disordered eating habits, but it has actually glossed over what we actually need to understand about the nutrients intake in our body, the hydration need in our body. You know, I have clients coming in here, you know, day in, day out saying, like, yeah, you know, I drink tea all day, or I drink coffee all day, or I drink soda all day. And, you know, one or two, you know, is doable. But when the body gets the main hydration from a carbonated beverage that's laden with sugar and chemicals, you know, things in the body are not going to balance. Things, your body's going to adapt, and then we're going to see symptoms. And then we go, oh, how do I treat the symptom? Oh, with another chemical. And it's just, you know, this whirlwind of just toxicity.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, I see people in my clinic all the time, and they'll say, well, every answer on my question intake, right, says, how much water do you drink every day? And the answer is always not enough. Well, thanks for your honesty, right?
You know that, you right. know, people do know that, but it's not important enough to change. Right.
I always tell them, when it becomes a priority, you'll do it. Right. When things get bad enough, you'll do anything. So I think it's interesting. That's a great introduction, because I think that, you know, I always look at these progress of development in our society, right? It's like as babies, it's like, oh, he's got colic. Oh, he's got ear infections. Oh, he's got a skin rash. And then when you become a teenager, it's like, oh, she's on birth control. And it's like all of these pharmaceutical markers of development in our society that shouldn't be there. If we would have the conversations, and you're right, no one said to me, Tracy, you're going to have this beautiful, magical thing happen to you every 4 weeks. Like, that wasn't how it was relayed to me. Right. I thought I was dying the first time, because no one ever talked to me about anything. So, you know, that's one of the things I think I'm hearing as well as parents, is we need to do a better job, especially parents of girls, to have these conversations with them about their menstrual cycle and say, you know, this is going to be reoccurring. This is what normal looks like. And I want to just put out there, and maybe you can back me up because you're the expert here. Why do we accept horrible periods? Why do we accept headaches and PMS and cramps? And I will have people fill out my intake, and I want to know about their menstrual cycle. I ask them about the frequency, the color. Do you have clots? No clots. How much pain? Do you get headaches, cravings? And they're like, yeah, but that's just normal for me. And I'm like, but that's not normal. So how did we get to such an exceptional acceptance of agony every month? How did we get there?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about the reasons why it's there, but how did we get to accept it, I think has a lot to do, again, with the culture, the shame associated with it, and more of the, well, this is going to suck, so buckle up, because, you know, you're a woman, and, you know, without getting too, you know, far down the feminist train, I think we've been, also, by the way, pain equals marketing gold. So, you know, if that aligns up with somebody's agenda to sell more products, to sell more pain pills, to sell more, you know, pharmaceuticals, you know, pain is a wonderful thing that people will spend money on. So I think it's a mix of culture, pharmaceuticals, and really not a genuine understanding of the female anatomy and the gift that we're given as females.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's walk through some next decades. So 20s and 30s, you know, I thought this was a really interesting statistic, and not to deviate off into breast cancer, but I'm going to, you know, as we get older, our estrogen levels actually decrease. So we have our highest estrogen levels in our 20s and 30s. And then after that, it starts to decrease. But estrogen-associated breast cancers are at their highest in our 40s and 50s. So that's when we have a lower estrogen, but a higher risk of breast cancer. So it takes me back to the question of if there's a natural production of hormone distribution in our body through the decades, why do we consider estrogen lowering an imbalance? Can you kind of explain to me, is it estrogen being too low is the imbalance, or is it going to the wrong place? Or what does that really mean when somebody goes to the doctor and they say, oh, your hormones are out of balance? Kind of give us a highlight on that.
Yeah. So my opinion in this, you said, let's walk through the decades. So we have, you know, in our 20s and 30s, we have, you know, 10 years of menstruation under a belt, 20 years of menstruation under a belt. So in the 40s, when our estrogen starts to decrease, I like to say our ovaries start getting ready for retirement. Okay. Your question was phrased as, well, the brain is making adequate or, you know, eventually inadequate estrogen. But the part that gets overlooked that I capitalize on in my business because it's so important is the actual detoxing of estrogen. So for women that come through my practice and we do hormone testing, which is not blood work, it's a urine test that shows us patterns in the way that your body makes hormones, not just 1 second in time. What it can show us is how your liver can actually break down estrogen. So think of it this way. If your brain made a perfect amount of estrogen every month, like it was just spot on, and you know, the conception only happens, you know, a handful of times in our life, right? So there's many times when the conception doesn't happen, and all that estrogen that was made that month doesn't get used, and it's got to be gotten out of the body. If the liver is not on board with doing that, or is having a hard time methylating, which that's kind of a buzzword these days, methylation. If that's not happening, that estrogen stays in the body and it circulates and it rises, even when you're making less. Because if it's not coming out the back end, it's just filling up the tank. So you could actually be making less and experience estrogen dominance, which blows people's minds wide open because they're seeing TikTok videos that say, you have this, so buy this. And then they come in here and say, I'm on all of these supplements. And I'm like, those are actually worsening your symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know when looking at certain testing, there's two pathways, right? Of the conversion of estrogen and what you're talking about is methylation pathway. And I never thought of it that way. You know, if we're not detoxing the estrogen, then it just keeps building up and it doesn't matter if it's trickling. It's like a water drip at night.
Right.
If you put a bucket underneath your faucet that's dripping, it'll probably be full by morning because it has no place to go. So such great information, because in our industry, you know, there always seemed to be one way to detox estrogen. But what I'm hearing is it's a more comprehensive detox that you're talking about. So can you talk a little bit more on those lines?
Yeah, sure. So methylation is obviously one of the biggest ones because we're uncovering a lot about our genetics. Some people have heard of the MTHFR gene, which is, it's kind of, to put it in a like nutshell, it's basically, you know, a genetic mutation that we just have in our bodies that some women cannot methylate as well as others. So we don't have to make a big deal about it, but we do have to support the liver with methylation help. What does that look like? That's one little methylation pill I take every morning. I've been doing it so long that I've got the dosage down to perfectly where I need it for right now. And that might change in a year, right? I might need more support or less if my ovaries start to retire. So that's one piece of the detox. The other piece is, looking at toxins that live in our tissue. It lives in our fascia, it lives in our fat tissue. So I'm talking about things like binders. I use binders from Cellcor, which are, they pull out toxins, they pull out viruses, they pull out chemicals, they pull out radiation, industrial chemicals. So everybody has some amount of toxic overload. And if we are not continually helping these pathways, these detox pathways, our lymphatic system, our liver, our kidneys, if those pathways are not open and functioning well, we will be sick because the body will adapt to that sickness. And we just learn to live with it. We learn to live with, oh, I always get a headache in the afternoons. Oh, right. I always wake up with brain fog. That's just the way it is. And we don't realize it till one day we wake up and we go, I am done putting up with this. And, you know, that's the part where people seek people like you and me out because they're like, I've done all the things and I've got nothing left. And I'm like, okay, well, let's open up the hood and look underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a specific kind of way that you detoxify. And before we got on the podcast, you were talking about detoxing at a cellular level. What does that specifically mean for people?
Yeah, so specifically, there's a few different protocols out there, and I target to the exact woman. So this is sort of a generic overlook because some people do have problems detoxing estrogen, and some people are really, really low in estrogen. So I wouldn't do the same thing for either of those people, which is why testing is important. I can do a lot with symptoms, but testing really kind of targets it so much. And when we talk about cellular detox, we talk about cleaning up the cell. The cell is where the energy is made. And without getting to, you know, high school chemistry here, we have to have all the components of making that energy. Is it able to get into the cell? Is it able to be made in the cell and get out of the cell and taken to the place in the body where we need it? So big part of cellular detox is cleaning up the cells. Our body adapts to toxins in the world. And I like to think of it as your house, and you have, let's say you have a bunch of garbage everywhere and you just haven't cleaned up in a while. And you realize that tonight's the night all these people are coming over to your house and you just do not have time to clean the house top to bottom. So what do? You grab bunches of garbage and you shove it in closets and you close the door and, you know, don't go upstairs to the upstairs bedroom because I haven't cleaned that room either. And then, you know, we store garbage in those rooms and close the door. And that's how our body adapts to getting. So for example, for me, it was those migraines. Like I would have a few days of bad migraines and then my body figured out where to store that toxins that were not serving me and keeping me down. And then I kind of got through it. The problem was the garbage was still in the rooms. And so this detox that I take people through opens the doors, which can get hairy and scary and ugly. But what we're doing is pulling the garbage out and taking it to the curb. We're actually getting it out of the body through poop, through sweat, and peeing. And, you know, obviously exhaling, we're pushing out carbon dioxide as a detox as well. So I really listen to the symptoms, to the story that they've been through. Had they been vaccinated? Have they been vaccinated as a child? Do they have mercury in their teeth like I do? You know, all of these things matter because our bodies are sponges for toxins and our body has learned to adapt and survive. I mean, I'm surviving right now, but you know, I'm constantly detoxing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have our natural detoxification pathways. You know, I call them the bowls, the bowels, the urinary, the lungs, the lymph, the skin, but they have to be open. And yes, they have to have enough nutrition, aka methylation, right? In order to be able, you know, methylation is just the body's ability to recover, ability to detox, ability to make a new cell. Methylation is key. And so I love that you start with that because you don't always hear that in a lot of hormone protocols, even in the functional natural world, you don't always hear this pathway. And so that's why I like your uniqueness because you start at foundations, you talk about food, you talk about nutrition, you get into methylation, you get into these specific customized detox programs, you talk about the liver's health and benefit, and then you even get into emotional and mindset because that's really important. I mean, I always tell people, you can eat all the kale you want, but you can't outrun your thoughts, you know, and eventually they're going to come to the surface because they want to get out too. You know, you talk about shutting the door. Like, how many times do we shut the door on emotions and just lock it away? And we're not going to talk about it. And we think that doesn't bother us. But if you draw the parallel between the physical toxins you're talking about hiding out in your body, then how do emotions affect hormones and hormone instability? So talk to me a little bit about that. How many of your women that you work with have high stress or trauma or, you know, things in their past that could affect their hormones or do they?
I mean, who doesn't, right? Tracy, I
Not
mean,
me. Just because you totally called me out on when people come over to my house, I felt like you've been here when people called me and said, I'm coming over and I'm just shoving things in closets, you know?
Well, it's so relatable. That's why. But yeah, emotional, you know, when I started getting into the emotional aspect of it, I got into it selfishly for myself, because I was like, if I can, you know, heal myself, I will be a better practitioner. But what ended up happening is I was staring, you know, across the couch to this gal who was opening up her, you know, her heart and soul to me of, you know, past traumas and past thoughts that she couldn't stop thinking. And, you know, those things are so damaging. And this is how the perspective I put it in for my clients. I say, you know, would you say those things to your daughter? Right. And of course, that's very shameful for a mom. Of course, absolutely not. I would never say, you know, you're fat, you're ugly, whatever's going through your mind. Like, you wouldn't even, the words wouldn't even come out of your mouth. So those thoughts are toxic as well. And so when I got onto the journey of emotional clearing and healing and detoxing, if you want to use that word, I started understanding that our body, as this physical flesh, our unconscious mind holds on to these experiences, these lessons that we've learned, perhaps when you were 3 years old and you know, reached out and you touched a hot stove and you got burned. You learned a really big lesson that day, right? You learned to not do that. And that lesson has shaped the way that you've made decisions from that day forward. Every decision in your life, you know one thing, that you're not going to do that again. And if you multiply this by the millions of experiences that you have, walking into a room and feeling insecure, that's very common for people, because one time something happened and they learned their lesson that if I just put my head down and I don't make eye contact, then nobody's going to call me out and I'm not going to get hurt. That's a valuable lesson that your body's protecting you from. The problem is it prevents us from being confident and from being the person that we're made to be, to help people and to reach bigger audiences. And when that switch went off in my brain, I said, oh my goodness, I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to be living because of these experiences that I don't need anymore. I'm perfectly capable of understanding, you know, when a situation isn't safe for me to be in, but the three-year-old version of me is not. So I use this method with women that understands the unconscious lesson. And when you understand the lesson, your body can let it go. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, the release in cortisol, you sleep better, you connect with your body better, and then you can show up for people in a much different, much more connected way. And it has just transformed the way that I am able to help and serve other women.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Because I think it's, you know, even absolutely in conventional allopathic, the emotional side of things or past traumas, grief, I don't even know if they ask it on the intake. You know, it's one of my questions on my intake. It says emotional wellness, but then underneath they'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your stress at right now? Right. And so they'll 6, 5, 9, whatever. And then I'll say, what is your number one source of stress? What's your SOS? What's your body like constantly thinking about and reacting to? Some people say work, some people will say, you know, marriage, whatever. That gives me a lot. And then I'll ask, like, where do you spend most of your time? Right. So if work is their stressor and they spend 12 hours a day at work, well, I'm going to have a hard time supplementing that person out of the health condition that they might have. If they're a stay-at-home mom and work in the home and their major source of stress is their marriage, again, going to have a hard time. So we can't just ignore, you know, the emotional side of things. And I just think, again, with women, in the I don't want to say mistreatment in a way that they're being blatantly mistreated, but it is a mistreatment in a way. If you go seeking help from a practitioner and on the conventional side, they're truly not equipped to deal with what is happening. And that's the truth. They've been taught diagnoses, pharmacology, some testing, maybe not even testing, just give this pill. It's a concept and it's a cookie cutter program that's been thrown over. And then we step into somebody that has your experience, that has like lived it and breathed it and done it and recovered from it and have helped thousands of people do that. It's a completely different experience. So I want women listening to this podcast to know that it's never too late, that if you're experiencing hormone issues or you've been, one of the other things that gets me is the people that are on bioidentical hormones for decades that are never checked, never adjusted. And I just heard from you, like, your body's going to change. Yeah. So if we change hypothetically every 10 years, why are people on the same level of bioidentical hormones for 20, 30 years? Like, yeah. I have people walk in my office like that. So I'm really looking forward to this upcoming class that you have actually released already and is out. And I'll make sure that I put it in the show notes so that people can sign up because it's fabulous. I looked over the outline. I haven't taken it yet. I was going to ask your permission to do that. But you know, no pressure just because this is live on the air. Say yes.
Of course.
But it's called Zen
Hormone Mastery.
Zen Hormone Mastery, and looks fabulous. So tell us a little bit about this course and why you did it.
Yeah, it was a labor of love because I was noticing trends with people that were coming in my office, because some women were coming in, like, had tried everything, was already completely holistic, super organic, and they're just like, I'm doing, perfect straight A student, but it's not working, right? And then I had people come in going, I eat fast food every day and I can't get off the Diet Coke. So like I had this very broad, and everybody in between, and wherever you come, I'm just glad that you're here in the first place. So there's no judgment on where you start. But the reason I started this program was to level the playing field for each woman to go, okay, I think I know the basics and fundamentals of nutrition, but let me watch this 20-minute outline where it explains, oh, okay, this is how, you know, carbohydrates nourish my body and what they should look like in a healthy functioning body. And, you know, it kind of just gives everybody the, whatever you learned in the past, because I have people coming in here with all kinds of old wives' tales about things. And I'm like, okay, that's not actually a fact. And so it's more about the education so that people feel confident making decisions, going to the grocery store. There's a weekly meal plan there as a supplement to go, oh, this is what breakfast could look like for me. Let me see if I can integrate it in my, so it takes you through that. And that's just the first week. The second week, I really focus on the things we were talking about with detox. Like, what does that look like in your body for who you are? And what are some tools that can be used to help get you started? If you're not, you don't know where you are as far as like wanting to do a one-on-one program or, you know, getting involved in this world, this is a really just a tiny bite that's gonna give you the information and the confidence to talk about your body, to talk about your hormones, to talk about your nutrition in a way that you can actually go, yes, I do this, instead of, I don't really know what's going on, I don't know what I'm doing. Because while that might be how you feel, you actually do know what's going on in your body. You've just never been asked. You've never been asked to verbalize it and to put it like on a checklist or on an intake form. And that's when we start getting to the gold of how we're going to go about your healing. So I integrated that with holistic practices of hypnosis. If you can, I speak to your unconscious mind every day with a recording that you listen to before bed, and it prepares you and it opens your mind and it opens your heart to what you're actually doing in your body. The body cannot heal if it is inflamed. So the brain has to accept what's going on, because speaking to your point, we're not going to out supplement the body without the brain's okay, right? The brain has to be a part of what we're doing. So we're not shoving anything down. We're not closing any doors. By opening and allowing this detox and this flow, that's where the body actually wants to be. So I've integrated that into a 4-week digital course that is available to, you know, everybody who wants to learn more and kind of take that little bite.
Wow, 4 weeks. So someone that could have been suffering for years can come in, and in 4 weeks, we're not guaranteed miraculous healing here, but they could certainly feel better and learn a lot. And I think you'd have everybody on the meal plan. I mean, every woman on here is like, oh, she has a meal plan. I don't have to think about what's for dinner. Yes, sign me up. Like, I'd sign up just for that.
Just give me the meal plan. There's a meal plan every week. Yeah. And I handcrafted them as far as, like, I thought them out of, you know, what would I want to eat, right? I'm not going to put on, you know, all these weird ingredients no one's ever heard of and buy all these things. It's like, okay, what is a normal, everyday, busy mom or corporate woman or wherever you are on that spectrum? Like, what do you need? This isn't just another thing. This is something you can integrate to change the things that you want to change.
Wow. And you also have a practice. You're a specialist in as part of my team, but we refer people to you. So you can tell us a little bit about your practice and kind of what to expect when people call you or book an appointment.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am located in Dallas, north of Dallas, actually. So I would love to see anybody in person, but for those that might not be quite convenient enough, I do see virtual clients. I started my practice virtually because I moved around a lot, you know, as a military spouse. But what happens when people come to me is I have a free 20-minute consult where we would just sit and, you know, I listen, what is going on with you? And then I formulate a plan of, okay, when was the last time you got blood work? Had anybody actually read it to you? Did everybody say it was all fine and you're not feeling all fine? Like, where are you on that? Let's get you some basics so that I can formulate a very specific and targeted plan for detox, for nutrition, for what it is that you are needing.
Awesome. Well, I think that's really what's needed. You know, I too much cookie cutter when it comes to hormones. It really is. They're like, oh, you have hormone problems? Yeah. It's literally like, yeah, that's what's going to happen to you. Oh, hot flashes? Yeah, I hate those too. Oh, you can't sleep? You have insomnia? So let's just get into menopause real quick, because let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, menopause, I mean, I'm seeing two huge things right now. Actually, three. I see three things. First, I'm seeing a lot of PCOS, which I know the course isn't specific to that. However, you're still going to need to learn all the things in the course to deal with something like PCOS. Infertility is another one. And then menopause, like women just with the craziest symptoms. It's not like grandma's menopause. Like, these are women on fire. They'll literally be sitting in my office just dripping in sweat. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, do you want a towel? You know what I mean? So, and it's embarrassing for them. They're humiliated. So please tell the world that's not normal, that we don't have to suffer like that. That I don't know about you. I mean, but I don't remember my grandmother complaining about her menopausal symptoms or even talking about it. Like, it was like, boom, done. And she just never talked about it.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to redirect you to the idea of, yeah, I loved, this isn't grandmother's menopause. I'm going to use that. But the reason it's not grandma's menopause is because grandma went through menopause, I don't know, the 80s, 70s, after time, which we in our this last 50 years have been inundated with all of the toxicity, all of the poisons, all of the chemicals in our pesticides, and I could do a whole class just on that. But the technologies of, you know, the EMFs, all of these things that have exploded in the last 50 years, all of these progresses that we've seen in our culture, look at the progress of that versus the sickness in America and in other countries too, but primarily here. It's the detox, because the need for detox is so important now, because grandma didn't have 60, 70 years of toxic poisoning. Okay.
Right.
We do. We have. When I was young, you know, we had all the vaccinations. When I joined the military, they didn't even tell me. I just walked down this line and they'd give me one in the side and one in the side and one in the side. And it was 10. I got 10 in one day.
Oh,
and
my.
I was so sick. And they're like, well, you have to show up for work tomorrow, so you better get over it. But it's the culture of accepting this toxicity and accepting sickness. In the menopause is the trigger for women, because that's when the ovaries retire, which means it's the job of the adrenals to take over, and the adrenals just can't do it.
Yeah, I always call it voluntary suicide, right? It's like, we know, but we do it anyway. We're like, ooh, what's that, glyphosate? I'm gonna have some of that. You know what I mean? So, and some people don't know, and that's okay. It's all about learning. But I think it's safe to say that even if you're a woman without any menopausal symptoms or any hormone imbalances, take this class so you never have them.
Right.
I mean, I feel very fortunate. I turned 50 this year, and not that everyone cares about my cycle, but I'm regular as can be, and I feel great. Like, my friends always laugh at me and they're like, how do you not know when you're going to get your cycle? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't get any symptoms. You know what I mean?
When women come in here almost in tears on month three of my program, they go, I got my period and I didn't know it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And they're just like, it just came. And I'm like, oh, you're talking about the crippling symptoms you didn't have this month. Like,
yes.
Astonishing. So yeah.
And so for moms listening and your teenage daughters having issues and, you know, PMS and they're grumpy as can be. I mean, I can't tell you, I have boys. So thank you, God, because I think he knew that about me. But I have friends who have like all girls and they're like, oh, everyone has their cycle and everyone's in a bad mood and we got cramps and headaches. And I'm like, you know, that's not normal, right? I mean, a 15-year-old girl shouldn't have a migraine. Like, that's not normal. Something's wrong. We need to address it. And a 50-year-old woman shouldn't have a migraine. There's something wrong. We need to address it. We have to get to the root. And conventional medicine, you know, praise them for what they do. If you need it, it's there until we can get to the root. Because I don't expect anyone just to suffer, you know, while we provide care on principle. Like, that would be great, but that's not really our society right now.
Realistic, and I don't want you to suffer. Like I said, we have to reduce the inflammation, and sometimes we have to take pharmaceuticals in order to do that, and that's fine. You know, it's just a different ball game when there's no end game, there's no plan, and there's no understanding of healing. And that's the point where I said, I've got to open my own practice and do this, because nobody else is listening. No one else is doing this. And, you know, I'm a question asker. And when people run out of answers and they just want me to go away, I'm like, okay, it's my time to go figure it out. So that's what I did.
Well, I'm so blessed by you for being the woman that's changing these industries' kind of poor standard on looking at a beautiful thing that we go through every month, which is how we should teach it and say it. And you're actually creating the true health care of women in this industry and in this movement. So I am grateful not only to be your friend, but your colleague. And I can't wait for your course, because I know that if I learn a lot, I can help a lot. And I think that's everybody here. Moms should take this, grandmas, even dads. If you got daughters, you know, understand that even in marriage, it's taught that your woman is going to be you know, grumpy one time a month, and, you know, then everything is because of that. Oh, she's in a bad mood because of that. And that's not true. And it doesn't have to be true. It may be the reality for some people, but it shouldn't be. So I would implore people listening to this podcast to go and take Eleanor's class. It's fabulous. Please learn. Please pass this on. Please help the generations coming up. You know, that's what it takes. We women need to be educators of women. You know, we can't keep, and this is no offense against men, because you're awesome and we need you. However, you know, sometimes men don't understand women things and women don't understand man things. And I always say, you know, it's kind of like going to a mechanic that never owned his own car. So, you know, I am more comfortable talking to women about women issues, not that men aren't valuable and wonderful. So I would ask people that listen, please take the class. If you want to make an appointment with Eleanor, we're going to put her website in the show notes, but if you want to give that verbally here, that would be great.
Yeah, it's just eleanordooley.com. It's eleanordooley. And you can find me on Instagram. I'm the holistic.hormone.specialist. I've got Facebook groups. I mean, you can find me. I have my own podcast as well, the Holistic Hormone Podcast, if you want to hear more about, you know, getting into the weeds about some of this stuff. I really do it for women, because no one ever told me. No one ever told me stuff. So,
well, I'm glad you're shouting it from the rooftop. Keep screaming. So thank you for your contribution. And guys, thanks for tuning in today. Make sure that you subscribe, send this to somebody who can benefit from it. Send it to your daughters, send it to your girlfriends. We need to know that this is a beautiful thing and it can be beautiful, and we don't have to be victim to the culture that keeps telling us something is wrong. So thank you, Eleanor, for being here. God bless, and tune in next time.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I appreciate you being part of our community, and I hope you found today's episode truly valuable. If this podcast meant something to you and you'd like to show your support, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help others discover this valuable information. Don't forget to stay connected with me on social media. You can always find me on Instagram at holistic.hormone.specialist, where I share insights, tips, and updates to keep you informed and inspired. And if you're interested in exploring my latest programs and resources, head over to nourishingnutrition.net to see what's new and how you can further your journey to holistic hormone health. Once again, thanks for being part of this podcast family. Your health and well-being matter, and I'm here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and stay hormonally balanced.